Good morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Matthew 5, 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We ask that you would come and speak to us today. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. Help us to hear from you, be encouraged by the word. Help us to pray this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The next teaching in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I think that's a wonderful promise. They shall see God. There's some kind of a deeper revelation and connection that we can have with God as we pursue being pure in heart. So I just have three quick points related to this idea of being pure in heart. And then we'll go into worship. Point number one, pursue purity. Pursue purity. Pursue holiness. Jesus commands us, or he teaches us, blessed are the pure in heart. And one aspect of being pure in heart, the Message version says, you are blessed when you get your inside world, your inner world, your mind and your heart put right. So pure in heart speaks of this purity that is going on in your inner life, at the core of who you are. And I just want to encourage us that as followers of Jesus, we should pursue purity. We should pursue holiness. We don't have to shy away from pursuing purity and really trying to obey God and really trying to obey the Word of God, not shying away from it. In the recent years, maybe four or five years, I've heard some negative remarks about Christian purity culture. Christian purity culture refers to, I guess, in the 90s, when there was a real emphasis on purity in your relationships, beginning with the book called I Kiss Dating Goodbye. Maybe it's because the author of that book, Joshua Harris, came out and said that he's no longer a Christian. And he kind of made some negative remarks about his upbringing. The whole book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye, is that because he wants to stay pure in terms of his sexual pursuits, he's just going to kiss dating. Actually, I haven't read the book, but I understand that that's kind of what it's about, like not getting into relationships early and making sure you're doing everything to stay pure in the area of sex, and premarital sex. Anyway, I feel like there's been some negative responses and reactions to purity culture, which I have to study it and understand it more. But I just think my initial reaction is like, "But what's wrong with purity culture? What's wrong with pursuing purity? We should pursue purity. We should consider it a big deal and really stay obedient to the Word of God and do our best." And I'm sure there's a lot of things, good arguments on why, how it was done, and maybe it was counterproductive in actually helping people stay pure. So I understand, but just the initial kind of resistance to it. Sometimes, maybe I feel that if we are really serious about pursuing purity and holiness and obedience, sometimes we get a bit pushback. You know, some people may mock you or discourage you or condemn you as being too excessive. I heard a teaching from Mike Bickle a long time ago on this, and this has really stuck with me, that he said, as we pursue God, and you know, we start fasting and praying and giving up certain things and really going after God, people are going to condemn you, and they're going to say, you're being too legalistic, and you're just going overboard, and you're excessive, and you're this or that. They mock you, or they discourage you, they condemn you. But he was obviously encouraging us, the listeners, and saying, don't worry about that. Just pursue God, and just pursue the kind of purity that you feel like he is calling you to pursue. And that resonated with me, you know, because I think that's true. As we get really serious and we want to be extreme, right? We want to really go the distance in trying to stay pure and trying to stay holy and trying to obey the Word of God, some people may say, that's too much, you know, you don't have to do that. Like, you know, some things are just acceptable, you know, whatever, and you have to, I just want to say, we have to stand before God at the end of everything, right? At the end of our lives, we're going to stand before God, and on that judgment day of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to have to give an account. We're going to have to go before God, and we have to give an account for everything that we have done and everything that we have said. And what if God had put a conviction in your heart for something? Maybe it's for other people. Who cares what other people are saying? But for you, he's saying, I want you to stay pure about this. I want you to not do it. Whatever it is, not just sexual thing, but maybe, you know, not watching pirated videos or whatever. Not watching those streams that... is it stealing from the media companies and things like that? And God had put a conviction in your heart, and you know it, and God knows it. What if he says, how come you didn't do it? What are you going to say? I don't know. My friend said it's okay. You know, like, that's maybe a silly example. But I think it's good. We need to pursue purity. Whatever it is that God has called us to do, the convictions that he's put on your heart, if it's in the Word of God, then it's very clear, and we have to pursue purity. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4 says, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your struggle against sin. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is, you should resist to the point of shedding blood in your struggle against sin. Right? You shouldn't give in so easily. You shouldn't just take it so lightly that you don't resist when it gets hard, but you need to resist to the point of shedding blood in your struggle against sin. Pursue purity. I think God would be pleased. Who cares about what other people are saying? Who cares about fitting in and following the norms of our culture? We want to please God, and I think he would be pleased. Even if we do end up being a little excessive for a season and a little extreme, maybe the Lord will correct us in that, but I think he would be pleased with the heart that says, God, I want to pursue purity and holiness because I want to obey you, I want to honor you, and like Jesus said, I want to be able to see you. Of course, we have to watch our heart. If we're doing it as a legalistic, out of legalism, and trying to earn our favor, earn our way into God, that's incorrect. And we have to watch for that, and the Holy Spirit will guide us in that. But as long as we deal with that, this desire and this passion to pursue purity and holiness with a desire to please God, I believe would be pleasing to him. Number two, pursue integrity. So first is pursue purity. Second is pursue integrity. What I mean by that is your outward purity needs to match your inward purity. Right? Jesus spends a lot of time talking about how you clean the outside, right? You clean the outside of the cup, but what's on the inside is filthy. Jesus doesn't say, blessed are the pure in appearance. Blessed are the pure in their outer life. But he says, blessed are the pure in heart. He's looking at the inside. And our inside needs to match what's on the outside. It's so easy for us at church to clean the outside of the cup, to make sure we look decent, to make sure we say the right things. Especially for a leader, it's easy because we get to stand up here and we get to talk about our lives and we get to edit, right? Certain things out, put certain things in, portray a picture of our lives that is that looks pretty good. But there's what is going on in the inner, the private life, the public life versus the private life. We all have a public life versus what is going on in our private life. And I remember another teaching from another pastor, Pastor Francis Chan. He said something like this. He said something to the effect of he's never met a pastor, including himself. He's never met a pastor whose private life exceeds the reputation of his public life. Right? So as a public figure, as a pastor, we say certain things. We portray a certain picture of what our lives are like. And so people hear that and people think, wow, this guy is a good man. Like the reputation is quite high because, you know, maybe, I mean, he leads a certain public life. And I'm sure certain private lives that are revealed match that. And so the reputation goes up. But in the true private, just the inner life of that person, he's never met a pastor whose private life exceeds that of the reputation. And he was saying he wants to do that. Like he was saying, man, I wish that I would have such devotion to God and pursuit of God that in my private life I am holier. You know, I am more spiritual. I am more in love with God than I am in the public life. And I thought that was, very convicting. It was so easy to put on a certain public life, public persona. And I think what Jesus is saying is, hey, purity in heart, like how you are on the inside when nobody else is seeing you. Because God sees you in the secret place, right? It also in Matthew 5 to 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus would say, God sees you in the secret place. You close that door and you go before God. God sees what is done in secret. It's a great thing. This teaching on public life, private life, it's not just a warning like, oh, your private life needs to match your public life or you will be exposed. It's also this awesome, amazing promise like, wow, when I get into the private place and into that secret place, I close that door. Nobody else, my church members don't know. My family doesn't know what I'm doing. Nobody may know, but as I go to that place and I pray and I spend time with God, God sees what is done in the secret place. You know, God sees the decisions I make and the prayers I make and the sacrifices, you know, I offer to God. And what a promise, right? In our private life should be, I think, more exciting than our public life. Because God is the one. When you do something in your public life, when you do something in your private life, you're just doing it for God. You don't have to check your motive or check your heart because nobody else knows. And you can be sure, like, this is just between me and you. You can have a secret life with God. Secrets are always exciting. When somebody says, can I tell you a secret? Most of us are like, oh, yeah. You're going to let me in your secret life. That's really cool. We can have a secret life with God. We can have a secret life with God that nobody knows about, but only you and the Lord know. And it's exciting, and it's intimate, and it could be amazing. So pursue integrity. Pursue integrity. Make sure your public life matches your private life. The last one, pursue purity. Pursue integrity. The last one is pursue honesty. Pursue honesty. What I mean by that is being pure in heart in our relationships with one another. So if we look at the Beatitudes, the first three or four is dealing with ourselves, but I believe the latter half is dealing with our relationships. So last week we looked at blessed are the merciful. It's in how we relate to others. The next one is blessed are the peacemakers. Again, how we relate to other people. And so pure in heart, maybe in the context of that, is not just talking about your own personal purity, but also being pure in heart in your relationships, that you don't have a hidden agenda, right? You're not hiding something and secretly thinking something else, but just kind of portraying a certain kind of grace or love or courtesy to someone, but really being pure in heart in terms of how you relate to the people. And I think how we do that is just by being honest. You be as honest as you can with that person. Instead of hiding something, be honest if you are unhappy. Be authentic with how you feel about that person, obviously within reason, right? Depending on the kind of relationship you have and what's the correct boundary, you got to keep all of that. But when you have that, be honest, be authentic, be sincere. Examine your heart for any hidden agenda, any passive-aggressive behavior, or any underhanded remarks, you know? You feel something, but for some whatever reason you don't want to say that thing, so you make another side remark trying to get to that point, or you just have a passive-aggressive behavior toward that person. Pure in heart. Having a pure heart in our relationships with other people. I mean, I meditated on this yesterday when I was with my wife. And I can't remember, exactly what the situation was. It was one of those things. I could have chosen to hide what I was truly feeling or talk about it and reveal it and just be honest with her. And I felt that being pure in heart in my relationship with her would be to be honest and to share what I was. There was a very minor thing. Honestly, right now, I don't even remember, did I actually say the thing that I was thinking of, or did I just move on from it? But, you know, I think in those relationships, when we have a choice, we should be honest, and we should keep the purity in heart instead of lying, instead of hiding, having a hidden agenda. Okay, treating people with value and love and dignity and respect, not only because of what he or she can do for you, but just because. Treat that person with a pure heart, not because, if I do this, maybe this person will be able to do this back to me, or he'll be able to help me out or do that later. Really, just having a pure heart, no agenda. I just want to treat you with love. I want to spend time with you, respect you, treat you with dignity, because you're a child of God, and you're my brother, you're my sister in Christ. And that purity of heart in relationship with other people, I think, is pleasing to God. You know, God values unity. God wants us to be one as the church. And being honest with one another, having a pure heart toward one another, I think, is first step in pursuing that unity. So let's go before the Lord. Cardia is going to lead us in a song of worship. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this promise. I think this is an awesome promise that we're going to see God. There's going to be some kind of increase in our connection with you, in our intimacy with you, in our relationship with you, as we pursue purity, as we pursue integrity, and as we pursue honesty in our relationships with one another. So I just pray that you would move in this time and speak to us as we sing this song. God, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord. Yes, God, thank you, Lord. Help us to be pure, purified, ready to do your will, ready to be used by you. Help us to pursue purity. Help us to pursue purity, not for anybody else's sake, but for your sake, God. Purity in our personal lives, purity in our relationships with others, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our friends battling cancer. Let's pray for God's strength. Let's pray for healing to come upon them. Let's pray that God would meet with them in this time, give them strength and energy and give them hope. Let's pray. Pray for those who are ill and also in need of salvation. Let's pray that God would release healing as well as salvation to our friends. Let's pray for various infirmities that our church members, our family members are going through. Let's pray for healing. Friends going through COVID, let's pray for healing and strength for everyone on the list, and also all the medical workers in our church and just the hospital system here in Hong Kong. Pray for strength and ability to deal with all the COVID cases. Let's pray for these two things. Let's pray for those who are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision, God's leading. let's pray for our mission focus. Pray for SP Singapore, SP Indonesia, SP Philippines. Let's pray for Pastor Sam Kim, Pastor Salamat, and Pastor Ernie. Pray for all these ministries. Let's pray for God's covering and favor and God's strength over them. Let's pray. Let's pray for the prayer ministries at church, IP team, the well. The well is our physical healing ministry. River is our inner healing ministry. Let's pray for Matt, Harris, and Christine, and Rachel as they lead their ministries. Let's pray for effective prayer. Let's pray that they will hear from God, that their prayers will be answered, that healing would come, both physical and inner healing, spiritual healing would come. Let's pray for these three ministries. Let's pray for our local outreach ministries, Igape, Homey, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for God's anointing and God's leading. Pray for Tim as he leads all the local outreaches. Let's pray for God's guidance and strength. And let's pray that our church would be a blessing to our local community here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for SP 2.0. This is just going back a long time ago where we felt called by God that this isn't going to be our permanent home right here. So let's continue to pray for that, for God's guidance, God's provision, God's leading on finding SP 2.0. We also had a prophetic word about a benefactor who would be able to, you know, really donate and give financially to this. So we're praying for that's why that's on there. So let's pray. Let's pray that God would lead us in our pursuit of SP 2.0. Thank you. pray for our pregnant moms, Hina, Rachel, Johnny, and others in our church. Let's pray for protection and strength. Let's pray that they will have a safe pregnancy and safe delivery. Let's pray. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today. Pray for a really amazing time. Thank you, God. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We love you. We worship you this morning. We praise you. Help us to be pure in heart so that we may see you. We may grow in our relationship and intimacy with you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today.